International Diplomatic Student Association is Hungary-based student organization for university students interested in political science, multilateral treaties, and intergovernmental relations. IDSA podcast aims to educate its listeners on career opportunities to university students in Hungary, opening their minds to pressing social and geopolitical issues. The podcast is recorded with the support of EPR Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the IDSA podcast, an exclusive project launched by the International Diplomatic Student Association. My name is Valeria Cholak, my co-host is Simon Lee, and today we have the great privilege to talk to Mrs. Katalin Juhász. Mrs. Juhász has been working for the Hungarian Helsinki Committee since 2019 as a legal officer for the refugee program. She provides legal representation primarily to those in need of asylum or assistance in immigration and citizenship procedures. Mrs. Juhász started her legal career in civil and corporate law, but the soul-stirring events of the 2015 refugee crisis led her to a change of direction. So in 2018, she obtained her master's degree in human rights law from Queen Mary University in London. Now, she is proud to work at the Helsinki Committee and to advocate for the rights of people belonging to the most vulnerable groups. Mrs. Juhász, thank you so much for making the time and agreeing to talk to us today.
Yeah, hello guys, and thank you for this nice introduction and also the invitation to this podcast.
And I believe that the best place to begin today is by asking you to tell us a little bit more about your own background in the field of refugee assistance and refugee law, and about what is it that has sparked your interest in the field. Could you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So I graduated here at the Aalto Law School more than 10 years ago. So it's been a long way. And after graduation, I started to work as a trainee lawyer for a law firm, working in the field of corporate law and labor law and family law. So I basically had nothing to do with human rights law or asylum law. And then I continued my professional life as a legal counselor, also in the field of corporate law. And then strangely, I thought that I didn't want to be a lawyer anymore. So I quit and I opened a vintage shop with my best friend. And it was 2015 when the migration crisis reached Europe and Hungary as well. And then we turned our store into a charity collection point and we started to ship the goods we collected to the Hungarian-Serbian border. And all that I saw there, the experience has a great impact on me. That's when I thought that probably I could still use my legal expertise, but in a different field. So I applied to Amnesty International and I was assisting the human rights officer there. And then, you know, I just thought that probably I need a more solid academic background and that I did an LLM at the Queen Mary University of London. And after the LLM, I ended up working for an NGO in London, working in the field of strategic litigation, in the field of asylum. And, you know, like, it was a long way, but that's how I ended up working in the field of asylum law.
And speaking about the Hungarian Helsinki Committee, you have started working with them since the year 2019 as a legal officer for the refugee program. How did you end up in this position, and could you tell us what your everyday work entails and in a nutshell?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I started my human rights career in London. After finishing my LLM, I started to work for the AIR Centre in London, and I worked there as a legal caseworker. And my contract initially was for a year. So after a year, I just started looking for jobs, and then this great opportunity from the Hungarian Helsinki Committee came across, and I really, really wanted to work for them because in Hungary, I think the Helsinki Committee is basically the only civil society organization working within the field of asylum law, and professionally, the quality of their work is just amazing. So back then also, when I was a student, I was really, you know, I was aiming at working to them once. So I saw this ad. They were looking for an asylum lawyer, and my contract was getting to an end in London, so I applied, and luckily I succeeded. And the Helsinki Committee hired me as a legal officer in the refugee program, which means that my main responsibility is to provide asylum seekers, refugees, people who are probably facing the risk of deportation with legal assistance and legal representation if needed. But of course, I'm also contributing to the everyday work of strategic litigation or reporting obligations.
So in recognition of the commitment and high quality work of the Hungarian Housing Committee, you've been awarded with a few quite impressive prizes and titles, including the Sakharov Prize for Freedom in 2019 and the nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2021. What do these awards mean to you, in both as an organization and as an individual working here?
It's always a great pleasure to receive such prestigious awards, of course. And publicity is also a value which is really important for us in our everyday work. So we seek publicity in terms of we'd like to show public what we're actually doing, the clients we're having, and the cases in which we can succeed.
The victims of abuse by state authorities, the citizens harassed for expressing their opinion, the inmates in prison, the refugees seeking asylum, marginalized citizens, refuse protection, and the rule of law itself, they all benefit so much from the work that you are doing together with the Hungarian Helsinki Committee. However, I am sure that your fight against the authoritarian developments in Hungary is not an easy one. And thus I'm wondering whether you could share with our listeners the challenges and the backlashes that your everyday work entails.
Yes, that's a really good question, because these, you said, authoritarian developments, they are also cemented into the legal system. However, we fight these developments by the tools of law. So, you know, it's a really bizarre situation when you actually have to find the legal system in which you are living. For instance, I don't know if you know that, but in Hungary, it's currently not possible to apply for asylum, only in exceptional cases and only for some exceptional group of people. That means that, as I told you, I'm working as an asylum lawyer. And, you know, if a person comes to me and tells me that, like, hey, I want to apply for asylum in Hungary, then I have to tell to this person that you are not able to do that. So, you know, the success rate in our work is, I wouldn't say low, but it's really hard to get real successes, real success stories, and to really help people. But I think we are doing our best, and we also had some victories in this field as well, and we also secured some court judgments in which, you know, we can see that there is an intention from the side of judges to challenge this whole system, which is really not foreigner friendly and really not refugee friendly. And the other thing is that I don't know how familiar you are with the fact that Hungarian civil society actors, including the Hungarian Helsinki Committee, was framed within a narrative of, like, you know, that, like, we are an organization helping illegal migration, which is something that has a negative effect on us, of course. And although, of course, we also try to fight these really negative xenophobic narratives, sometimes it has an impact on us and on our work.
Now, I would like to shift the topic of our conversation towards the dramatic situation in Ukraine and the subsequent flux of refugees coming into Hungary. First and foremost, what do we know about the Ukrainian refugees in Hungary? And what about the numbers are we talking about here? And what is the situation per general?
What do you mean that, like, what do we know of the refugees coming from?
Perhaps the statistics.
How many people came to
Hungary?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. So as far as we know, It's actually 250,000 or more than 250,000 people came from Ukraine to Hungary. All in all, the numbers are great. So all in all, 2.8 million refugees fled Ukraine to Europe. And to Hungary, the number is more than 250,000, which is a great number. And here in Hungary, they can apply for a so-called temporary protection status. This status is not the same as the refugee status. It's something which is granted to people in mass influx situations when authority is just like in no position to conduct a long and complex procedure. So if someone comes to Hungary and says that like he or she was fleeing Ukraine, then she can apply for this special status. And not only in Hungary, but in other member states of the European Union as well.
How would you describe their situation, the feeling of people?
Of course, it's really hard. It's also a great challenge in our everyday work. So only last week, we were answering more than 600 inquiries, which is a great number. So we're getting like loads of phone calls, loads of emails. People sometimes just come to our office directly asking for help. So it's kind of dramatic, I would say. And of course, it's really hard to give these people an instant answer and instant solutions, especially because the legal environment is also something which has been constantly changing in the last 2 or 3 weeks. We also went to the borders with my colleagues, monitoring the situation. But I must tell you that it's not what you would imagine. So it's not that like thousands of people are stranded at the borders and they don't know what to do and where to go. Or I wouldn't even say that, because people who arrive to Hungary, they don't really know what to do or where to go. However, we don't really talk of like big crowds as it was back in 2015. But still, as I told you, more than 250,000 people arrived, which is still a great number, but you cannot really physically experience the greatness of that number.
And because you mentioned the concept of temporary protection, which in Hungarian is called menedék, I'd like to ask you, what are the rights of Ukrainian refugees when they apply for this temporary protection?
Yes. So this temporary protection in Hungarian called menedékes status, which I mentioned, is something completely different than the refugee status. And if you apply for this temporary protection, you can get accommodation, food. You also will have some financial support. And once you got the status, you can also access education, medical services, and employment as well.
What rights do Hungarian citizens fleeing Ukraine have? Is it true that they are entitled to the same support that the Hungarian state provides to those who apply for temporary protection?
Yes, that is true. When the government decree came into effect more than 3 weeks ago, according to that decree, Hungarian citizens fleeing Ukraine, they did not have the same rights as the applicants for temporary protection. Since the EU directive came into effect, the Hungarian government also accepted a new decree, a new piece of law, which now grants all those rights to Hungarian citizens as to Ukrainian nationals and their family members.
Another topic that we really would like to address is the refugee situation at the border crossings, which you have already briefly touched upon. And according to your organization, the police still do not provide information on the need and possibility to apply for temporary protection or how people would become eligible for certain services. What do you know about this?
Yeah, that's completely true. What you just said, that we think, and also my colleagues who just came back from their border monitoring visits they did over the weekend, that the greatest problem is that people arriving, they just don't get any kind of information on the type of protection they are eligible. So this means that like once someone arrives, there are like hopping points around around the border cities, but the personnel there, they cannot really give them substantial and useful information on the rights they have. So, you know, recently the narrative that Hungary is just kind of a transit country, and like all those arriving to Hungary, then they just leave to another EU member state. But like one of the reasons they do that is because they don't know what is the protection they can get here in Hungary. So unfortunately, what you just said is correct, and yes, that's what we also experienced, and that's what we saw, that people are not really getting any useful information on the available legal protection.
What about the registration point? We have read information that at some registration points, people need to wait 4 to 8, in some cases over 10 hours. At least at one registration point, people are waiting outside, and there are reports that while waiting for the registration, people do not have access to food, water, or even toilets. There are also reports that there continues to be a shortage of interpreters at the registration points, and the authorities cannot communicate with those being registered. Can you tell us a bit more of these issues and about the roots of the issues as for you?
Okay, so many people came from Ukraine, like more than 250,000. But as I also told you, when you go to the border, you don't really have this experience. You cannot really like feel how many people fled Ukraine. What you actually see that, yeah, there are groups of people, there are probably like a couple of hundred or like even less. So it's not even the problem is not even with the number of people trying to register. The problem is that people sometimes don't even know that they have to register. And another problem that you also mentioned, that there are no interpreters present in the field. My colleagues just told me that over the weekend, for instance, what they experienced is that there are many volunteers or volunteer interpreters who try to help people, but these people, they don't really receive professional assistance when it comes to interpretation.
And we have also read reports about entire buses of people transferred from border crossing points to registration points being told not to ask protection in order to speed up the procedure. What do you know about this kind of situations, and what do you think about that? And do you believe that this can explain the shockingly low number of temporary protection applications registered by the Hungarian state?
Yeah, so this is a really good point. The way it's supposed to work is that people coming are informed of their rights and of the protection available. However, as we see that people are coming in great numbers, however, so far only 2,500 people applied for temporary protection. We don't even know of the success rate, meaning we don't even know whether these people have really been granted temporary protection or not. And one of the reasons could be, of course, the fact that Hungary is only a transit country. So, you know, people are coming, but then they're traveling further to the EU. But another reason can be is the lack of information. So, of course, they don't apply because they don't know that they can apply. And while I cannot really confirm what you just said, that they are being told not to ask for protection in order to speed up the procedure, I don't know about that. But what I can tell that I'm getting many calls from people saying, hey, I just crossed the border. I don't have a biometric passport. So, of course, I cannot travel any further in the EU, but I still have my Ukrainian ID card. And I was being told to register for a temporary residence document, which is valid only for 30 days. That means, or this shows us, that these people have not been taught to apply for protection. So probably these rumors that you read somehow, they are probably true in that sense, because many people who could be applicant for temporary protection, they are just given this temporary residence document, which, of course, obviously, this document does not grant those rights, which are otherwise accessible through the temporary protection.
How would you describe the general attitude of Hungarian towards this situation? And as citizens, how can we help within our ability? How can we help with the situation in general?
Yeah, I would say that many humanitarian tasks that should be taken care of by the state, for instance, is taken care of by volunteers, by civil society organizations, by everyday people. And I'm pretty sure that everyone had the experience that, like, some of their friends, family members, colleagues, students in the universities, many people try to help somehow they can. Many people join organizations or offer volunteer work. So I think that the reaction of the Hungarian society as a whole, not just the civil society, is kind of impressive. And I think people help a lot. And I think that's great. But also, to be honest, also in 2015, what I experienced was like a great solidarity, let's put it that way. So I think this is something which is really moving and which helps us to, you know, to get out of this xenophobic governmental narrative.
And before we are wrapping up this podcast, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
I would encourage you to go and do volunteer work. All hands are needed right now. You can also just go to the railway station and, you know, prepare some sandwiches. You can also reach out to civil society organizations offering volunteer work. So I think it's also a great opportunity for you to strengthen a little bit your empathetic side.
Dear Mrs. Juhas, thank you so much for making the time for today and for having such an amazing input in the field of refugee assistance in Hungary. Dear listeners, we arrive at the end of this week's podcast, in which we had the pleasure to discuss the topic of refugee program of the Hungarian Helsinki Committee. My name is Simon Lee, and I had the pleasure to co-host this episode with Valeria Cholak. Thank you for being with us, and stay tuned for the upcoming episodes.
International Diplomatic Student Association is Hungary-based student organization for university students interested in political science, multilateral treaties, and intergovernmental relations. IDSA podcast aims to educate its listeners on career opportunities to university students in Hungary, opening their minds to pressing social and geopolitical issues. The podcast is recorded with the support of EPR Radio.